Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. We will do our Morning Drive two-a-days in just about 30 seconds as we'll talk some Kansas City Chiefs as we go to the AFC West. But it's time for clue number two for Name This Titan. And again, put all three together coming up in about 20 minutes, and you will win tickets to see Jay-Z and Beyonce. So clue number two, this Titan played his collegiate ball in the Pac-12. So Long Beach, California resident, played in the Pac-12. Third clue coming up in just about 15 minutes. Right now we welcome in Soren Petro, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs, some Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. Good morning, Soren. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, gentlemen?
We are doing well. I want to start with the quarterback position in Kansas City. Alex Smith is long gone. They've handed over the keys to a young, highly touted quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. How has he looked so far from what you've seen, and what are the expectations this year for him in his first year in 2018 as a starter?
Well, first, let me say I'm stunned you want to start with the quarterback position, because we haven't even
shocking
discussed it at all in Kansas City. Really, since he was drafted a year and a half ago, that's been the only conversation in this town. And the excitement level is huge because, you know, this franchise hasn't drafted a quarterback in the first round but since 1983, when they took Todd Blackledge ahead of Jim Kelly and Dan Marino. And that apparently just, you know, absolutely paralyzed the franchise into ever thinking about a quarterback again. So the town is electric. The guy's got a huge microscope on him because this is something the city has been waiting for 30 years. To actually happen and occur. So I think everything he's done has been exaggerated. You know, he had a stretch where he threw some interceptions, and I told everyone before the season, look, Andy Reid said in 2013 when he got here, and Alex Smith was the guy that was under the microscope after they traded two second-round picks for him, we want him to go out and push the offense, push the envelope here in training camp, and find out where the ceiling is. If you don't throw picks, you don't know how far you can go. So it's been a wave of emotion. He's looked good. He's looked bad. I personally think knowing that, armed with the fact that Andy Reid wants him to go out and see how far he's gone, how far he can go with the offense, he's looked great. You see the days, the interceptions, where he's trying to see what he can do. There are other times where he just makes mistakes. He said, hey, I had the wrong protection or the wrong coverage called out, and I went in the wrong spot. He's made mistakes, and he'll make mistakes during the season. But you see the arm talent, and you see the big throws over the top, and you see the speed of Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, and the big playability that really just wasn't there with Alex Smith that the Chiefs want to add. You know, they want the safety, they want the ball security of Alex Smith, but they'll give a little bit of that up if they can get some of the big plays over the top that his arm gives them.
Now, going back to kind of piggybacking off your big play comment, the Kansas City Chiefs chose to sign Sammy Watkins. How much does he change his offense? Because we saw once Travis Kelce went down, Tyreek Hill, for some apparent reason, it seemed like he froze up in that playoff game. He dropped some passes. He kind of started off slow. And then once they lost Travis Kelce, that offense was inept. What does Sammy Watkins bring to this offense, especially with a new quarterback at the helm?
You guys noticed that too? I mean, that was pretty apparent how that second half went there.
Exactly.
I thought maybe we were going to get through this without bringing up that second half. It was only 3 weeks of my life I spent breaking down that second half. No, I think you're exactly right. We've talked about that. Travis Kelce is probably the most important guy. And I think everybody knows his name. Certainly us fantasy nerds know his name. He's the number one, two, or three tight end for the last 3 years. And he really is the guy that does make the offense go. You saw how Alex Smith really had nowhere to go with the football. He sees that. You know, a lot of people tried to blame Andy Reid for not running the ball enough with Kareem Hunt, who is a sensational talent, but they didn't convert first downs. I mean, I think you guys know, look, if you don't move the chains, you can't hand the ball back off. If you don't have success in any of your passing plays, it gets really hard to hand the ball off and have any success running. Both elements have to be working. And when Kelce was out, they could not get the offense going. And Tyreek Hill did have the drops. I think that's one of the reasons why they went out and spent $16 million per year on Sammy Watkins when they already had the number five offense in football. And a lot of people were scratching their head saying, wait a minute, your defense is 28th, your offense is number five. Why are you putting the biggest signing on the offensive side of the ball? And I think that's part of it because they were somewhat fragile. When all the pieces were there, when they're firing, they were really good. But as soon as they lost one of them, then they really fell apart and became a completely inept offense. I mean, they were awful in the second half. I mean, you know, the fans can talk about Derrick Henry running up and down the defense, and that was terrible. But if you get some first downs, if you get a field goal in the second half, you win that game. And I think that's why Watkins was brought in, and I think that's why they drafted Patrick Mahomes a year earlier, is because when Kelce goes down, you need a guy that can still get the ball down the field. Okay, some of your intermediate underneath stuff is gone. Now you're going to have to go down the field. Do you have the arm? And frankly, not just the arm, but the confidence to make that throw. And I think as good as Alex Smith has been as a game manager, and I mean that as a compliment, not a slap in his face, because game managers will win you a lot of football games. As good as he is, I think his days in San Francisco beat out of him the thought of even when he has to go down the field, he won't do it. There are sometimes you have to go down the field. That Tennessee game was what they needed to do, was get the ball to the receivers, and he just wasn't willing to make those throws. And you know, I think his fate was sealed. They were going to turn it over to Mahomes either way. But that combination of losing Kelce with a quarterback that won't make those big-time throws into those tight windows is what ultimately cost them offensively in the second half of that game.
When you look around the AFC West, certainly the AFC is pretty weak relative to the NFC, but the AFC West has some intrigue there. We're not sure what Denver's going to be with Case Keenum. We obviously think very highly of the offense around Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. I think there's a lot of hype right now for the Chargers, and then, of course, Oakland could bounce back if their head coach is worth anything. So how do you evaluate the hierarchy of the AFC West currently going into the season?
You know, I think the Chargers have to get the nod. I mean, you can pretty much look at who's got the best quarterback, and that should be the favorite in most divisions. That's how it generally works, and Phillip Rivers is, by my count, the best quarterback in this division and has some pieces around. Now, they're already taking on water. The annual Charger injuries are already starting to pile up as they've lost a corner, they've lost their tight end, and so you wonder, is it just the same thing that they've had for the last 2 or 3 years where they're not going to be able to keep anybody healthy? But I think everybody in the division acknowledges the Chargers are the favorite, and then the other three teams have their story for why they're number two. I personally would put the Kansas City Chiefs number two based on the pedigree of Andy Reid. 5 years in Kansas City, 5 winning seasons, 4 playoffs, and 2 consecutive division championships. I think they have to get the nod at number two, and you can make a case that they ought to be considered number one just based on what I laid out right there and how they've been the strongest team in the division here of late. But, you know, the defensive question marks are there. They didn't change defensive coordinator. That had a lot of people puzzled here in Kansas City that Bob Sutton was brought back, particularly in not being able to get the stops in the second half against Tennessee. But he has, last year excluded, 4 of his 5 years, had a top-10 scoring defense. So I think they felt personnel was the problem. Maybe attitude was the problem. A willingness to tackle was a problem. That all covers Marcus Peters and why he was traded this offseason. And they think that they can be better on defense. And if they are, this is a team that, frankly, I don't give them any leniency on, say, well, it should be a 6-10 year, and then next year for Patrick Mahomes is the year. The NFL has quarterbacks playing well in their second year, and you can call him a rookie all you want, but they said he was serving an apprenticeship under Alex Smith for a reason. So there should be no excuses about, well, he hasn't been out there. Quarterbacks play right away in the NFL, and they play well. Carson Wentz was year two last year, and the Chiefs have stated, and they're right, first year of a quarterback contract is your best chance to win a Super Bowl. The Chiefs' window is the 5 years of Patrick Mahomes in his first contract and maybe one more year of a backloaded second contract to where you have the room cap-wise to go make moves. They gave one of those years away by keeping Alex Smith around and carrying his large number. They have 4 years left on this first contract, and they know it. They know this is the prime time to win a Super Bowl while Patrick Mahomes is on that first contract. Clearly, he has to be good to get it done, but this is their plan. I mean, everything is going as they planned 2 years ago, so I don't think there's any excuses for the Chiefs to take a step back and not be in the playoffs. I think it'll be very disappointing to that organization if they're not at least 10-6 and a wild card or better this year.
Talking to Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. Soren, I spent many years in Philadelphia. That's where I'm from. I grew up watching Andy Reid, covered him for a handful of years towards the back end of his career. Very good coach, but hasn't been able to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. And he's doing the same thing he's done in Philadelphia in Kansas City. 5 years, 4 playoffs, 2 division titles. With the move to get rid of Alex Smith for Patrick Mahomes, how much was that just the ceiling on Alex Smith? How much of that was Andy Reid feeling some pressure to get Kansas City over the hump and making a change at quarterback? Has he been under any type of hot seat or a warm seat of pressure to go further based on what he's done so far?
you know, maybe just a hint of warmth from the fans and the fans only, because fans are always disappointed when things don't go well. And you're right. It does feel, there's a lot of talk about, hey, we're back in the Marty Schottenheimer era. Good enough to get to the playoffs, not good enough to go anywhere. So from that standpoint, yeah, Andy Reid does get heat. But the fans quickly remember how bad it was with Romeo Crennel, with Todd Haley, the Scott Pioli era, and that calms them down real quick. I mean, that was a, you know, 2-14 was something that reminded them very quickly what you know, this is a good time. This is good football. So no one's really upset. And Clark Hunt just gave Andy Reid a contract extension and then pushed out the general manager, making it crystal clear. Everybody assumed, but now there's no doubt. And then Brett Veach being moved up as the general manager, who was a guy who started basically as an intern for Andy Reid in Philadelphia, that this is Andy Reid's show. So, no, I don't think there's any heat on Andy Reid whatsoever. And I think the move to get the quarterback, I think they looked, and there were quarterbacks that they had an interest in, but this is a kid that I know for a fact, and talking with folks, that they spent 2 years down in Lubbock watching this kid. Now, remember, he came out a year early, so they were down there watching him long before he was even eligible for the draft. They really like this kid. There will be no excuses whatsoever for the Kansas City Chiefs of like, well, you know, we weren't sure about him. We didn't know, and it's always a gamble on a quarterback. They locked in on this kid 2 years before they ever drafted him and thought he was a real talent, and then they moved way up from 27 to 10, giving up another first-round pick and a third-round pick to go get him. I mean, they are sold on the fact that this is the number one quarterback that was in that class, and frankly, one of the best, if not the best, quarterback that's come out since Andy Reid has been in Kansas City, because they've known. I think Andy Reid wants a young quarterback. I think he wanted that guy. I think the Alex Smith move was made to be a stopgap and a holdover for 2 or 3 years. And I think he maybe played better than they thought. And they didn't find themselves in a position to get the quarterback they wanted. But this move was made to take the franchise to the next level. And I'm with you. Listen, I'm a Syracuse guy, and I love me some Donovan McNabb. But I watched Donovan McNabb play after he left Andy Reid when he was only 32 years old, and he fell off a cliff. And I think Alex Smith may fall off a cliff in Washington. I think he played well for Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid. We'll see what he does in a new environment. But I think it's clear there was a limit to what they could do with Smith, and they knew that if they were going to go to the next level, they were going to have to do two things. One, find a quarterback that can make those plays that go beyond just the scheming, because Andy Reid's weekly game preparation, I think, is as good as anybody in the NFL. You know, Travis Kelce was their only receiver for a number of years, and you'd still have three times during a game where he'd be high school wide open, where Andy Reid just schemed him wide open. That's not supposed to happen in the NFL, but it would. But I think that was the move, and then the other move was an acknowledgement that they got to get better on the cap. I mean, I think the Mahomes move was part A. Part B was they walked away from John Dorsey because he simply didn't manage the cap well and had too many older players with big contracts that weren't contributing. Mahomes is ready to go. It's going to be 3 or 4 years before they're completely dug out from under their cap questions.
Soren, that's great insight. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City, part of our Morning Drive Two-A-Days. We will get to the Denver Broncos coming up at 9:30. When we come back, clue number three, the final clue for name that Titan, and then, and only then, when I say call us, you can call us. We'll give out the number, and then boom, we'll try to get a winner for Name That Titan. Jay-Z, Beyonce tickets on the way. Stay there. It's Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.